I wanted to, this morning, take a look at some things regarding Jesus Christ as the light of the world. It's hard for us to really fully appreciate all that's been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. The word says, at best, we're going to see through a glass darkly. But there are some things that are laid out in God's word regarding His heart and His grace and His mercy toward man, and really the desire He had for all of mankind to be delivered. And in the Gospel of John, we're not going to go through this in detail. I want to get to something, but the Gospel of John opens really sort of a beautiful way, but it refers back in its opening all the way to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And that was the promised seed, the Christ. And for all of this time, God was working toward that time when His Son, Jesus Christ, the fulfilling of that promise all the way back in Genesis 3 would be fulfilled. In Romans, it says it was at the right time. It's translated in due time in King James, but in Romans 5, it's at the right time. He sent His Son. John chapter 1 opens with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." The beginning, again, it's referring to is back to Genesis 3. Let me keep reading. "All things were made or came to be by," should read it, that referring to that word. "And without it was not anything made or prepared that was made or came to pass. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended or extinguished it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world was made or came to pass, was brought to pass by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, there had always been grace. You can read about it all the way back in Deuteronomy. Grace and truth. But Jesus Christ would be the full or the fullness or the fulfilling of the great grace of God that was promised. See? John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace piled on grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, or the fulfillment of that which was promised, of which the law pointed to. There was grace in the law, but nothing like the grace that brought, that Jesus Christ brought with him. And it was the law that pointed to that truth regarding Jesus Christ. So this was the light that came into the world. In these verses that we read where it talks about, you know, the world was made by him or came to pass. That word world in all through this chapter is the word for cosmos. It's the word cosmos, which is translated world. I don't want to get in the weeds on this for this, but very simply, in this chapter, cosmos is referring to the order or the arrangement of the world. Okay? And what we're going to see is that when that light, when Jesus Christ came into the world, it upended everything. The arrangement or the order of everything was changed. And that was something that he knew he would do. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 4, and I want to read a little something here. In Luke chapter 1, I'm just going to read this to you. You don't have to turn there. In the end part of the chapter of Luke chapter 1 is recorded the prophecy of Zacharias, the father of John, John Baptist, John the Baptist. Because Zechariah didn't believe the words of Gabriel. I love that record. When Zechariah says to the angel, he says, how will I know if these things are? You know, how will I know these things will be? And Gabriel's like, I'm Gabriel. I'm the one that stands before God himself. You know what? You're not going to talk. That's it. Until these things be fulfilled. But in the end of Luke is recorded his words. And a couple of those, or part of that, is in Luke 1:79 regarding this child and what he would prepare the way for. And, you know, regarding the Christ or regarding the true light, it says to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now in Matthew 4, I want to read a couple of verses here, and we're going to pick it up. And this is shortly after verse 12. This is a short time after Jesus Christ's time in the wilderness. It's really when he was baptized, it says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. We read that record in a few verses, but it was an amazing victory, where Jesus Christ went without food for 40 days. So physically, there was nothing. He was weak. You try going without eating for 40 days. But yet he stood and he walked perfectly by way of that Spirit of God. And it was a great victory. And really, That's when it says he came out in the power of the Spirit of God. Well, shortly after that, in verse 12 of Matthew 4, probably good if I turn there. It says in verse 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. This was the fulfilling of a prophecy in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah chapter 9. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you. But this region of Galilee, where and Naphtali and Zebulun were two of the tribes of Israel, is in the northern part of Israel. In Isaiah 9, preceding that chapter, what was prophesied was that trouble was coming because Israel had turned away from God. Assyria was going to conquer Israel and lead them captive. And they would come from the north, it said. Well, Galilee is in the northern part of Israel. They were the first ones to be conquered and made slaves by Assyria and really endured the most suffering. So that's the context. And you see in this, you see a bit of God's mercy and God's grace. It's pretty awesome. But this is all the way back in Isaiah 9. He just is laying out what's going to happen. And it says in verse 1 of Isaiah 9, but there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious by way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Isn't that beautiful? Naphtali and Zebulun were the first to be conquered and led captive, and they were the first to witness the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Just, you know, God's taking care of his people. And really, the majority of the ministry of Jesus Christ revolved in that area of Galilee. But it's, you know, it's something. But the picture that's being drawn is they were sitting in darkness in death's shadow. That's the picture that's being drawn. And that's who Jesus Christ is bringing light to, because he's bringing life with him. And that life is the light of men. It's spirit life. I try to picture what this must have looked like. It just must have been amazing. It must have been absolutely amazing. We're going to go to John. John chapter 8, please. And we're going to read a few sections. And these are all sections you're familiar with. John 8, This is a record where there's a lot that goes on here. We're not going to read this whole record. But in verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them." There was a crowd there. There were Pharisees, religious leaders. He was in the temple area. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You could legitimately translate this, "shall not walk in the darkness, but shall walk in the light." The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "You're bearing record of yourself. Your record's not true." And then Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, my record is true, for I know from whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go." Jesus Christ declared himself to be the light of the world. And he goes on to tell these religious leaders that you will die in darkness. You will die in your sins because you won't believe on me. Let's go to, let's go down to verse 27, and we're going to read a section here. No. Let's go to John 12, verse 27. This is also in the area of Jerusalem, I believe. This is very close, or we're getting close to the time where he's going to give himself over to be crucified. But I wanted to read this section. I want to pick it up in verse 27. It says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Another said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world," or cosmos, order, arrangement. "Now shall the prince of this world," or this cosmos, "be" what? "Cast out." Colossians 2, I'm just going to read it, because you guys know this, most of you know this verse pretty well. It's described like this. In verse 14, it says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Then it says, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them." So things were about to change very drastically. Now I want to keep that in mind as we read here. Because there's just a beautiful and compassionate plea on the part of Jesus Christ to these people. Verse 32. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And then he said, or this he said, signifying what death he should die, referring to his crucifixion. The people answered him, and this is interesting, "We've heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And now you say the Son of Man must be lifted up." They understood he was speaking of his death. Who is the Son of Man? The thing is they had been taught. They had been taught by the religious leaders only regarding the conquering Messiah, the conquering anointed one, or Christ. So the concept of that anointed one or of that Christ having to die, they had never been taught that. The Christ, the Son of David, would come, bam, reestablish Israel, bada bing, bada boom, take care of business, king, we're done. But that's not what the scriptures said. See? And they ignored those things. They weren't taught, or rather the religious leaders. They really, if you think about it, which is so typical of human, they made it more about Israel than they did about the Christ. Isn't that something? You ever hear of such a thing? Then it says, verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while the light is with you, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? This is in Isaiah 53. This is how it opens. Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they couldn't believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, because of the Pharisees they did not what? Confess it. Man. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. You know, that's that double life. It's misery. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now here in verse 44 is what I wanted to kind of get to, and just as we read this, in essence, this is the gospel regarding Jesus Christ and his plea. And it's so loving, it is so compassionate how he's fighting for these people. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sees me sees him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in what? But abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to what? Save. To save the world. Isn't that awesome? You know, there's a place in the word where Jesus Christ said, all those that the Father hath given me, nobody will ever pluck them out of my hand. See? Once we're in Christ, we're in Christ. He's the light of the world. He's the only way out. He's the only way out of darkness. Isn't that something? You know, we read these verses and we think in terms of his time being short, as long as the light is with you. Well, aren't we children of light? Haven't we believed on Jesus Christ? Yeah. Yeah. Now, the day is coming. The day is coming when it's going to be dark. That's coming. And that's why I say this is really the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if I can speak the word to somebody, and get them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they understand it or not, they have been saved from some pretty bad stuff. Because they're headed to the same exact place all of us were headed. You know, I love, I heard Sam say this once, and I love it. We're all beggars. All of us are beggars who have found the bread of life. And we're just trying to get other beggars to eat. Right? That's really what it is. But we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, what we read here that Jesus Christ did, we do. And we'll see that in a minute here. I'm going to wrap up here in a few minutes, but we're going to look at a few more verses.
Hi.
Hi. Where did I stop?
48 is the next verse.
48?
Yeah.
He that rejecteth me, verse 48, and receive not my words, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him when? In the last day. See? Isn't that something? Jesus Christ came to offer everlasting life to everybody who believes on him. And when we speak the gospel regarding Jesus Christ, we are literally offering everlasting life to anybody that believes on him. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. We're just going to turn to a couple more. You know, again, I think it's a little difficult to fully appreciate, fully comprehend what it is we have to offer. You know, when we speak regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, sometimes the world kind of talks us out of it, or sometimes, you know, I don't want somebody to think I'm weird, or you know what I mean? Not that any of you have ever experienced that, but I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the flesh. And that's why we take the time to look at these things and really build them. And really gain more and more of an appreciation of who we are and what we've been made in Christ and what Christ has done for us. It's pretty awesome. In Acts chapter 26, this is the record. And Jesus Christ is speaking to Paul. This is on the road to Damascus, and Paul is reiterating what took place. But one of the things that Jesus Christ said to him regarding what he had called him to do, in verse 17, we can read that, it says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. That was Jesus Christ's part. He would take care of that. Then Paul would speak to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith or believing that is in me. And that's exactly what it does. It turns people from darkness to what? From the power of Satan to the power of... That's right. You know, because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Almost done. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm just so thankful that Grace is so into this right now. Just reading out loud. I want to pick this up in, let's read verse 3. It says, if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost or are perishing. in whom the god of this world or this age hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Isn't that an awesome picture? The light, you know, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, it makes known God. And then it says, in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. See? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we see in the face of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of a glimpse right now, but we get to see some things. We get to see a little bit, which is pretty cool. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, you don't need to turn there. You guys know these verses. It says, God is light. In 2 Peter, it talks about the word of God, or this prophecy, which is as a light that shines in a dark place. These things are light in a dark world. Ephesians chapter 5 says that we're to walk as children of what? Light. We're to walk as children of light. That's right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm just going to read this to you. In verse 8, beginning in verse 8, it says, but since we belong to the day, this is the ESV, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Isn't that something? You know, that wrath of God is something that we perhaps don't think about very often. It's not something we have a cup of coffee over. Hey, been thinking about the wrath of God lately. Pass the sugar. But it's true. You know, the justice of God demands it. And because we've believed on Jesus Christ, we are saved from wrath. That is one of those things that we don't really appreciate yet. But that day's coming. You know, where we're going to really appreciate having believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in ways perhaps we've never even thought of. It's pretty amazing. I did want to read this in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. We're getting close to the end here, kids, in Revelation 21. And we're getting a glimpse. Verse 23. It's describing this new Jerusalem. Verse 22 says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And it goes on to describe. Isn't that something? Philippians chapter 2. And you guys all know this verse. But it talks about our being lights. Working out our own salvation without murmuring, right? Or complaining. because we live in a dark and perverse age, among whom we shine as lights in the world. And then the next words in the next verse are holding the word of life. See? We shine as lights in a dark and perverse age, holding the word of life. And we hold on to the word. And that's one of the things that we do for one another, is to help one another to hold on to the word. To help one another keep looking to the word. See? Because we're all broken. We all have some tough things we go through, right? And sometimes, you know, it's just, that's why we have one another. You know, this body of Christ, this family of God, it's amazing. And how God works. You know, just with the timing of things. And sometimes somebody says something, or sometimes God just works in you. You know? And all of those things are light. All of those things are what keep us from walking in darkness. So, we got something to be thankful for, you know? And we have something to really offer people. We really do. And it's not about you. And it's not about me. You know, we just read, we preach not ourselves, but what? Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That kind of takes a load off, right? I don't have to talk about how great I am, because I'm an idiot. But my Lord Jesus Christ is awesome. Believe on Him. So, it's pretty amazing what we can do for people. Say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm going to close with prayer. Then, man, I think we got some food today. Yeah, we do.